Greetings. You're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 Minutes of the End Time Religious Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, how do you spell Cephas? In John 1:42 and 1 Peter 2:5, the Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S, C like in Charles, E, P as in Peter, H as in help, A, S as in Sam. The reason I bring up the preliminaries again is not because I want to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. I hope you tell others about us. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child as has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the religious matrix. The something that is inside the matrix are and could be listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are this something that is inside of the religious matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, inner faith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by millions expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping that he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, and tolerance. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam, in spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians 6:15? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men. God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know and rejoice with him. He plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, and the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Last week we ended with a description of the Jesuit oath by Ian Paisley, to be continued next week. Even though the Jesuit oath states that Masons cannot become part of the Jesuit order, that has obviously changed. Pope Francis is a Freemason. The Knights Templars of Jerusalem and the Knights of the Desert, whose office it was to protect pilgrims and to defend the Holy City, afforded very apt models for Masonic mimicry. Because the Temple of Solomon and the Holy Sepulchre always shared the same fate, many contended doctrines of the theologians had also their chevaliers to defend them. In all the progressive mummery, we see much of the hand of the Jesuits, and it would seem that it was encouraged by the Church. These cheats found it convenient to make Masonry one of the conditions, and by a small degree of art persuaded their pupils that they were the only true Masons. These Rosicrucian lodges were soon established and became numerous because their mysteries were addressed both to the curiosity and sensuality and avarice of men. They became a formidable band, adopting the constitution of the Jesuits, dividing the fraternity into circles, each under the management of its own superior, known as the president, but unknown to the individuals of the lodges. These superiors were connected with each other in a way known only to themselves, and the whole was under one general. At least this is the account which they wish to be believed. If it be just, nothing but the absurdity of the ostensible motives of the occupations could have prevented this combination from carrying on schemes big with hazard to the peace of the world. But the Rosicrucian lodges have always been considered by other Freemasons as bad societies and gross schematics. This did not hinder, however, the alchemical and medical secrets from being frequently introduced into the lodges of simple Freemasonry, and in like manner, exorcism or ghost raising, magic, and other gross superstitions were often held out in their meetings as attainable mysteries, which would be immense acquisitions to the fraternity without any necessities of admitting along with them the religious deliriums of the Rosicrucians. Catholic ceremonies unknown to ancient Freemasonry were introduced in 1735 to 1740. In chapter of Clermont, so-called in honor of Louis Bourbon, Prince of Clermont, at the time Grand Master of the Order of France. From that time, the influence of the Jesuits on the fraternity made herself more and more felt. The candidate was no longer received in a lodge, but in the city of Jerusalem. Not the ideal Jerusalem, but a clerical Jerusalem typifying Rome. The meetings were called Capitula Canonicorum, and a monkish language and asceticism prevailed therein. In the statutes, it seemed the hand of James Lyonnais, a second general of the Jesuits, and the aim at universal empire betrays itself, for at the reception of the Sublime Knights, the last two chapters of the Apocalypse are read to the candidate a glowing picture of a universal monarchy which the Jesuits hoped to establish. The sect spread very rapidly, for when Baron Hunt came to Paris in 1742 and was received into the highest Jesuit degree, he found on his return to Germany that degrees were already established in Saxony and Thuringia under the government of Marshall. Discussions at Wilhelmsbad, the statements contained in Dr. Stark's book, The Coping Stone, 437, concerning the influence of the Jesuits in the Masonic body, formed one of the chief topics discussed. Some of the chiefs of the Stry observance produced considerable confusion by being unable to give information concerning the secrets of the high degrees, which they had professed to know, or to render an account of large sums that they had received on behalf of the order. The main point was to settle whether Masonry was to be considered as a continuation of the order of the Templars, and whether the secrets of the sect were to be sought in modern Templar degrees. After 30 sittings, the answer was in the negative. The chiefs of the strict observance were defeated, and the Duke of Arnswick suspended the order for 3 years, from which blow it never recovered. The Swedes professed to possess all the secrets. The Duke of Brunswick hastened to Uppsala to learn them, but found that the Swedes knew no more than the Germans, whence new dissensions arose between the Masons and the two nations. I still have time to tell you why I'm doing this broadcast. Why I share this information. I grew up in Europe, and I had no idea who the Mormons were. When I was approached by missionaries, they said that they were from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was looking for a church to join at the time. I became a Temple Mormon after 12 years in the church. I found similar oaths to secret, so secret that a layman could not understand. I researched and found that they are Masonic. I'm a born-again believer and had to depart and renounce Freemasonry. God wants us to overcome. To be continued next week. In signing off, events are moving rapidly. Please get involved. Please get involved and tell your families and coworkers. You can download the broadcast at Cephas-radio.com. It was updated with the most telling YouTubes ever. On the bottom of the post, they are a must for believers. Matrix.cephasministry.com. The other website is cephas-news.com, which has 60 YouTubes addressing Pope Francis. Shalom. If you want to go to our newsletter website, it's go-cephas.com. Blessings. It's Rita Williams. Shalom.